Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts and strengthen us. Lord, in these days when trial is arising, not just in the United States, but all over the world, we pray that you would give us the power inwardly to trust you fully, Lord, and to live to glorify you, to put your kingdom first, and to walk in the fullness of your Spirit. Work that work in us even today. In Yeshua's name we thank you. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you, we say something in the prayer before we give the word every week. No, maybe it's after we finish the ending prayer. I want somebody to just stand up and tell me what that means and what are the implications. Melech Ha'olam. What does that mean? Melech, just one person stand up and tell me what it means. Melech Ha'olam. King of the universe. So what is the implication? Right. He's in control of the whole universe. Well, when you stop and think of it, since they invented the Hubble telescope, they're able to see just, I guess, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of miles out into the universe. And there are all of these, not just stars, galaxies, groups of stars, as far as you can see. They can't see the end of it. So when you stop to think, we're just this dot in the whole universe. This earth is just this tiny dot in the whole universe. And we think of an election and how it affects the whole world. I mean, the world is talking about what went on in the United States. And a lot of leaders are worried about it. So this is only one tiny dot in the whole universe. And the Lord God is, and a lot of people don't believe this, but he is Melech Ha'olam, the king, the ruler of the universe, all you see out there. And it's a powerful statement. Gracie's cousin, Daniel, who's with the Lord now, took the good news down to Guatemala first and then to Mexico. And when Guatemala had its largest earthquake ever, he was in charge of restoration, of bringing people back into dwellings. Theirs had been destroyed. And he described to Gracie and me what went on when this earthquake started down in Guatemala. Everything was trembling. And the ground was opening up and certain people were being swallowed. Couldn't you imagine everybody is completely calm? Not a whimper. Now, that didn't happen. People were frightened silly. They didn't know where to go where there wouldn't be this quivering and opening up of the earth and people being swallowed. Now, thinking of that, I want you to listen to these first words of Psalm 46 and say, how could that be? You know, a lot in the Bible to me sounds like make-believe. How could that be? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Gracie's dad, who knew the Hebrew, used to say, you could better translate that, easy to be found when in a tight spot. Therefore, we will not fear. Should I repeat that? Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. I would imagine most people haven't seen that. Gracie and I went to Alaska in 1950, and we saw calving. How many people know what calving is? You do know. These huge ice formations that were mountains have parts of them melt and break off and go into the water, and you're at a distance on the ship from these, and you're just seeing these big hunks, but when they tell you, they're the size of an apartment building. And they are breaking off and falling into the water, and you're watching from a distance. Now, listen to this. And the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. These are natural, you could say, huge movements that are enough to make anybody frightened. Does that seem like a fair statement? So how could you say, therefore we will not fear? Oh no, you won't fear. Well, we fear for less than that. We hear news on the TV or radio, and it sounds really, they're talking about this this crazy man, and I say he's that, in charge of North Korea, making guided missiles with atomic warheads, and he wants to send them over here. Well, it's hard for the average person to hear that and say, what are we up against? What is this world coming to? I think it's trying to say, for the people of God, there is a power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that can keep us calm in the midst of any storm. I think it's amazing that in the upper room discourse, here's Yeshua, Jesus. He's going to go through what one doctor that I read described as the worst torture that human beings have ever come up with. He's going to go to be crucified on the cross, and he begins with the foot washing and these chapters from John 13 through his high priestly prayer in 17, and he's got his interest on these, his Talmidim, his disciples, and he's preparing them for the aftermath of Yeshua being taken up. He's no longer with them visibly the way they saw him, but he's going to send the Ruach HaKodesh, and he says something like this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The average person would be so frightened of it, about what is going to happen to him, he couldn't even think about, what about these, my students, my disciples? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world give. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me. So you say, he's comforting them with the thought that even though he is going to be taken up before them, that the Father, who is the master of the universe, Melech HaOlam, King of the universe, will send the Holy Spirit and take care of them. Now, when we read this away from that picture, it's hard to imagine. But when he said, "My peace I give to you," I would guarantee you that some of them thought of that wild storm where these men, many of them fishermen, were saying, "Master, we're going to die." You know, these windstorms come up quickly on the Sea of Galilee, which is really a lake. And they are so powerful, they can upset these small fishing boats. And where is Yeshua? It's a small fishing boat. It wasn't a princess cruiser. And he's asleep there. They say, "Master, get up, we're going to die." And he says, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And he calms a storm. Well, to a lot of people, some of them are scientists, others are just everyday people, they don't think such a thing is for real. They don't think God really controls the universe and that he came in the person of the Messiah, and that if we look to him, we can have peace in spite of how difficult the circumstances are. And when some of the commentators who are scholars think that when it says there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells, that he's talking about Jerusalem. I don't think so. God is within her. She will not fall. Well, she did fall. In 70 AD, the Romans came in under Titus, the general, who was the son of the Caesar at that time. And they wreaked havoc. A multitude of Jews were killed. The temple was destroyed. Sacrifice ceased. And the whole Jewish religion was changed. But the ultimate sacrifice had already been offered before that. It was Yeshua's sacrifice. And in Psalm 50, God says, "Come, you who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." Well, the rabbis say today there are 150 commandments that we can't do because of there's no sacrifice. And there's no temple to sacrifice in. But Yeshua offered the sacrifice. That's in Isaiah Chapter 53, it tells he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The covenant that brought us peace, can you imagine that? Was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We human beings, this human creation is fallen and needs the Lord to pull them out of this darkness. Every one of us. Gracie and I are reading a book, The Language of God. Have you? That's good. Read it. And this man, Francis Collins, was the director of the Human Genome Project. They traced all the genes in the human being, and they know God's layout of this. And it's going to enable them to do things scientifically to help us in our health that's never been known before. And this man began as an agnostic. That means someone who doesn't really know, who says, I don't know if there's a God or not. From agnosticism, he became an atheist. And then one of his, he's a doctor, a medical doctor, and one of his patients asked him, what do you believe about God? And it made him go on a search. And you should read that book, how he came to believe that God really is. And he's a scientist who's respected all over the world. And he walks with God and loves God. And it changes the person who's farthest from God. It changes our whole personality. In 1950, my father was dying of lung cancer. He smoked 3.5 packs a day. And he was dying. It was going to affect our whole family. And people who had prayed for us for 8.5 years came to us and presented Yeshua, Jesus, as the Messiah. And I began comparing the scriptures of Tanakh, the Old Testament, with the New Testament. And I came to believe that Jesus is really who he says he is. And it changed my whole life. And I, at one time, was directing a graphics department for Blue Cross, and they closed our subsidiary, and my father-in-law at the time said, I took a Dale Carnegie sales course. I thought I was going to sell graphic, and I couldn't open doors. And my father-in-law says, can't you see what God is saying to you? Go take care of that congregation. He meant here. I said, I don't even have a salary promised me. He said, that's okay. God will take care of you. And I had gotten another job at the time. I had to tell this head of the printing company, I'm leaving. He says, where are you going? I told him I was going to take care of this congregation. He says, how are you going to take care of your family? I said, I don't know, but God told me to do this. You know, he thought I was loony. But, you know, Gracie and I have been here 26 years, and the Lord has taken care of us. And I paid off my house ahead of time. Amen. And God has never, Gracie and I, we're still eating, aren't we, Gracie?
Amen. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, in this walk, you do have to keep running to God because you're challenged. It is a challenge. When you've been used to collecting your paycheck every week or every other week, and all of a sudden you're in this place, you have to say, Lord, help me. I need the faith. Well, listen, the same faith that it takes here where it says that I will not fear when all of these things are happening to the earth. It says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And it says that he's the one who makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. Hey, isn't that strange? We thought it was the UN. No. They're at odds with one another in the UN, so many of these nations. My father-in-law used to call it the benighted nations, not the United Nations. So we have to know that God is the one. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, the Goyim, the Gentiles. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts, that's the Hebrew, Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord of multitudes is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We run into him, into God, and we're safe. He's our fortress. Well, here in Habakkuk 3, what is he doing? He's saying the Babylonian hordes are coming to overtake us. And they did. They overtook the southern kingdom of Judah. And listen to what he says. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Now, listen to the kind of faith he had. The whole food chain is going to stop. Look, that's not funny. I'm telling you, if we were put in that position, a lot of people would be trembling. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, there's not vegetables, and there's not meat. And there's not even fur to make your clothing. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God, my Savior, my Deliverer. You know, you say, unless God steps in, and unless my confidence is not misplaced, you know, this doesn't sound normal. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. I won't faint. My feet are steady. My legs are not quivering. He enables me to go on the heights. Now, how does that happen? How does that happen that the whole food chain is failing and this huge Babylonian army has come to overrun my country and I'm not afraid? Well, if what Yeshua says really is projected into our hearts, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So how does the world give? Well, I think you remember when they made peace with Begin and the head of the Egyptian government, and they're signing these peace treaties in Washington. Look at the Middle East now. Did those do any good? It's just a piece of paper. And if the hearts behind it are not surrendered and have the peace of God, it won't last. Signing a piece of paper is not peace. By the Holy Spirit, when the Lord says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, that's God's signature. That's safe. The same one who put this universe out there is the one who's saying that. And listen, all of us have to get in touch closely enough that we know that peace in our hearts. And that's what we're going to need for the coming days. That's why I gave this message the title I did, Getting Ready for the Great Trial. If you want to read what Yeshua says is going to happen before He comes, read Matthew 24. It's going to require the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. And you know how I know that there'll be enough people who'll take advantage of that? He says finally, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a sign, and then the end will come. So they're going to be those who are so filled with God's Spirit, it doesn't scare them. They just keep on preaching. And that's what Paul did. If you read the last chapter of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy is Paul's last epistle. And he says, I'm now on the point of being offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. Faith is a fight. Satan is your enemy. The Lord is your strength. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. It's like a guy in the Olympics. If you're in the race, if you're the trackman, you keep your eyes on the goal and you don't keep looking back or you'll lose. And it says, looking unto Yeshua, unto Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. You keep looking to Yeshua. And it says this. What about fear? I have no fear, it seems to indicate. It says this in 1 John. There's no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. The first and greatest commandment mentioned by the rabbis and mentioned by Yeshua is found in Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And it says the second is like it. It's Deuteronomy 19, verse 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. So my father-in-law used to say the first is the root, loving God with all your heart. The second is the fruit, loving those around you. And so you say, how does this really happen? Well, you've heard people talk about loving God and yet they're so difficult to get along with and they're mean and nasty and everything. And it's easy to say, I love God, but the proof is, according to the scripture, do you love those around you? How do you treat the people around you, whether they're in the body of Yeshua or they're outside? How do you really treat the people around you? Do you treat them with the love of God? That's the answer. The first is the root, loving God with all your heart. The second is the fruit, loving your neighbor as yourself. If I'm going to take care of myself and I see my neighbor in need, whoever he or she is, I'm concerned for them. I'm not just concerned how my family gets along. I like to know that the people I associate with and identify with, no matter what color you are or ethnicity, listen, God made all of us. God has no racial preference. Yeah, he did choose the Jewish people to give the word of God, but God loves each and every one of us for ourselves. And he is more concerned about your welfare and the welfare of your family than anybody in the world, even the politicians. God loves you. And I would say this, if we're lacking in this, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. So that's the test. You can say, I love God, but how do you treat the people around you? No matter what ethnicity or color, and how do you treat the people around you? That's the test. So I'm praying for all of us that during these times, and we're facing great tests in this world. Believe me, we are. I'm praying for all of us that we will get such a relationship with the Lord and love for Him that our love will know no bounds. It won't be just as long as I take care of my family, I'm okay. Never mind those around me. I think God wants us to love all those He puts in our path. And I'm praying that there will come such a move of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that all of us will experience that. And I'm also, I tell you, my heart breaks for those in our pathway who are suffering. Many are suffering physically. That the Lord would restore the gift of healing and the gift of miracles. Why miracles? Well, you know, it says in Hebrews concerning the first believers, God bearing witness with them, with signs and wonders and different miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. So much has been done in the name of Jesus that's so contrary to God and His Word and to Jesus that people need to know the truth because God's also witnessing with us. That's what I'm praying for. And so many people are suffering around us that I'm praying, God, come and deliver them from this pain they're in. So let's pray that the Spirit of God would move in all of our hearts and we would become the men and women God called us to be, loving Him and loving those around us. Lord, in Yeshua's name, work Your work among us. By the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, Lord, grab a hold of each of our hearts and cause us to be the people You called us to be. We just want to give You our complete devotion, Lord, and pray that Your love would sweep over all of us and that we would be able to be the light that You called us to be. Yeshua said, Ani Or HaOlam. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then He said to us, You are the light of the world. Let Your light so shine before men that they may see Your good deeds and glorify Your Father who is in heaven. Lord, work Your work in every heart and glorify Yourself through these Your servants. We commit our lives to You. Now, Lord, as we go to eat, bless us, use this food to strengthen us, and help us to honor You in all that we do. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yo'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, our righteousness, go with each one and have Your will and Your way in each life. In Yeshua's name we thank You. Amen. Amen. You're all invited.